So, what witch skills do you wish everyone had in this apocalyptic time?
Oh my goodness, that's the question I didn't even know I really needed to be asked. Thank you so much.
Just like,
Oh
what do
my
they need to
God.
know? Hello, beloved listeners. This is Adrienne back again. I am a writer of stories and songs, an emergent strategist, a pleasure activist, and a witch, living in the land of the Shikori, Skarure, Tuscarora, Eno, and Lumbee peoples. And this is How to Survive the End of the World, our podcast about learning from apocalypse with grace, rigor, and curiosity. When I say our, I'm including my sister, Autumn, who's currently away on sabbatical in her absence. And in honor of my book, Fables and Spells, I'm going full witch this season and having conversations with some of my favorite witches, teachers, readers, and I'll also read you little bits and pieces from the book. What I mean by witch is people who work with the elements of the natural world, including human nature, to generate more possibilities. Witching is engaging the essential natural world with magic, healing, or supernatural intentions. Some names for what I'm including in this witch work: shamanism, sorcery, seeing, healing, herbalism, midwifery and doula labor, Reiki, root work, conjuring, ritual and spell casting, astrology and divination, sound baths, altar building, song channeling. All the manners by which we build a direct relationship with the realm of the ancestors, the spirit, the holy, the ethereal, and ourselves. As always, we have no sponsors. We don't run any ads. There's no major funders backing this. It's just us here talking. And if you are moved by it and it helps your life in any way, feel free to go to patreon.com/endoftheworldshow and support. We love the support and it helps keep us going. Now, my guest today, I'm very excited about, is Nimona James, who is a writer and an intuitive. And I got hooked on Nimona's horoscopes a while ago. And I was like, these are the bomb. Like, these are really beautiful, powerful, grounded, community oriented horoscopes. And then we actually had Nimona come and do a deep dive reading for us at the Emergent Strategy Ideation Institute, which actually helped us see so clearly our direction and what our strengths were, what that year was unfolding for us. There was a lot in it. And I think of you as being in New Orleans, but it sounds like you're not right now. So hi, Nimona. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my gosh. It's such an honor to have you here and get to have this conversation with you. So we always like to start off with just, how are you right now today?
Yeah, I'm grounded. I'm ready. I'm tingly in all the good ways. So yeah, that's how I'm doing. Yeah, how are you?
I'm feeling victorious. I am in the process of a first time buying a home, and so far it's just really moving well. Like, it's like, yeah, like, you know, my dad has been helping me, which has been a really sweet bonding experience for us because, you know, this is his realm. He's like, I know houses, I know home buying, I know insurance, like, I know how to, you know, like that kind of thing. I'm like, that's not me. I'm just like, what is the house worth? I'll pay it. I don't want to talk about this. Like, you know, so it's been this really sweet experience to just be like, you know, it's actually really tender. I have so many people in my life who have lost their fathers or who don't have great relationships with their fathers. And I feel like for a long time, I took my dad for granted. And so this experience has been this really sweet, like, wait, I freaking have a dad who like really loves getting to do dad-like things like this. And I've been watching a lot of basketball lately. So we're bonding on two levels. It's just been sweet. So I'm having a big daddy's girl day while also experiencing this kind of grown-up success moment of like, I'm about to really have this space and get to tend to it. So we're having these witchy conversations, and I'm using, as I mentioned before, the word witch to encompass a lot of things. But I always also like to really start out with asking my guest, how do you identify the work that you do?
Yes. I identify with the word witch. I identify with sorceress, magic maker, miracle worker. I'm flexible in terms of how I talk about my witchcraft and also receive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I love that. And when did you realize that you were drawn to the miracle working way?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful question. You know, I first started doing astrology a few years ago, maybe 6 years ago now. And I didn't identify it as something that was witchy.
Yeah.
It was just this geeky, nerdy thing that I love. And it wasn't until I moved to New Orleans that it started to take on, it became something more. And that was also because of the community that I was building in New Orleans. And
got it.
So I think it became witchcraft because of the community of witches that I was getting to know and became a part of. And also
it's
because
thick in New Orleans.
I mean, it's the end of the Mississippi, right?
Yes. So, everything comes through.
So I think that landscape as well. And, you know, I'm currently on the Nile. I live in Egypt now. And so the rivers, and I'm actually close to the end of the Nile.
So wow.
Experience the ending of this very long river on this side of the world. Yeah.
What pulled you to Cairo in this moment?
It, at the time, felt like this frantic need to, I needed to leave the States. I had spent a couple of months.
We understand, yes.
Yeah, I had spent a couple of months in the Caribbean doing ancestor work. Mm-hmm. I have people from the Caribbean, and I just really needed to be in that landscape. And then I came back to the U.S., and I was like, this is not it. This is not it. And I just had the kind of hearing about Egypt. And of course, it's always been in my psyche as this incredible place with these pyramids and the history.
Yeah.
And it just came through really clearly. And I did, we're getting witchy. So
yeah.
Before I travel anywhere, I always ask for my team, and by team, I mean my spirit team, my ancestors, my guardian angels, to dialogue with the elementals and ancestors, gods and guardians of whatever landscape I'm going to.
Yeah.
And I ask them to open up the dialogue and open up the channels. So basically I always try to make sure it's not 100%, but I try to make sure that there's permission and welcoming.
Yep.
And so I asked them to check for Egypt. And I had to, there had to be some clearing.
You're like, clear the way.
Yeah, some forgiveness.
Mm.
Definitely some prior shenanigans that I was up to in this area of the world. And then I got the clearance, and I got that I would be like welcome and safe. And then 4 days later, somehow I was on a flight and I was here.
Wow.
Over a year ago now. So, yeah, that's how I made it here.
Oh, wow. Beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that. I mean, I'm really interested. It might be a whole separate set of conversations. I'm so fascinated. I know so many, particularly Black women and Black women organizers who in the past like 3 years have been like, that's it. That's actually it. And I can't be in the U.S. any longer. Mm. And now I'm having the joy of connecting with those people as I travel. And I'm like, so you really left. And it just, that feels like this whole other, in a way that feels like a different kind of spell, right? It's like, I'm literally going to withdraw my energy, my body, my magic from this place. I'm just like, So who would you name as your witchy ancestors? And is there a formal lineage that you claim to the way that you do your work? I know you speak of yourself as an intuitive. And so, yeah, I'm like always looking for the balance between the intuitive way and the kind of called and trained way.
Yeah. So my kind of lineages and the lineages that I kind of let myself fall into, the word coming is messy. It's a little messy.
That's great. That's
I am
great.
not someone who is maybe to a fault, but it's my flow. I kind of tend to be like, if I love it and if I feel into it, I will engage it.
Period.
And so that has taken me to Tibetan dream yoga. That's taken me to studying bhakti yoga and traditions that would be considered Indian, that would be considered. I've worked with, of course, in my own lineage. That's been a huge and crucial part of my work and development. And really, I think in working with my ancestors, what the biggest gift that's offered me, or one of them for sure, is the reminder to come back into my bones and into my body and into the
Yes.
knowledge that's already there,
Yeah.
and to like reach into ancestral wisdom. And I come from people who were encoding stories and stars. And I found that out after I wrote horoscopes, right? So
Oh, wow.
there isn't a mis
Really?
yeah, so there isn't a mistake in terms of the lineage that I've been brought into and people who
Wait,
are.
tell us more. How are they doing that? What is that? What did it look like
So,
in their time?
oh, that's such a good question. Stars are so, to me, they're very receptive. They're like these energetic, they're like living energy, and they're very receptive. And if you ask a star to hold something for you, it might hold it. So I think it's actually a very simple technology. It's the willingness to tell a story, right? To give over and give up a story to a star or to any energy. But yeah, in particular, that's one of the magics of my own lineage is knowing and encoding stars in particular and the sky and really the astrological practice for me with a lot of story and a lot of poetry and medicine. And I mean, those years where I was writing those horoscopes, that process was so wild, and it was not something it was channeling before I really knew what channeling was. And those messages that came through have taken me years to integrate. Like I was bringing through things that were way ahead of
Of where
where
you
I
actually were,
was in my own path. And the years I've taken away from the horoscopes and away from astrology, it was for me to integrate. Like they were like, we brought through all the messages for you, and now you kind of have to, you gotta bring them through.
You got to make
So.
it. I had a very similar experience with the tarot practice, actually. Like I was reading and I was just gung-ho, like scholarly about it. And then it started to really be like, but for real truth, like that's what's like, you need to catch up. And I was like, okay, let me pull back from doing this public facing journey and just really sit and listen. Because there's a way, I think sometimes there's a way that these technologies can serve as like, I want to speak of it in a way that isn't diminutive at all, because it's like they are their own sacred magical form. And in some way they can serve as a way of externalizing the actual intuitive thread of message that you are, right? So I was like, oh, for me, like the tarot gives me permission to know what I know and to say what, you know, like I'm like, but if I don't have the tarot and someone asks the same thing, I'm like, what do I do about this? Like this, that wisdom can emerge in the moment as well. Does that
Yes.
resonate?
That resonates so much. Looking back at really where I was, my me self now, and I, would look back and say, like, okay, you were not ready to be doing public facing. I mean, the container I was holding at the size I was holding, it was really big, and it got big really quickly. And
Folks are hungry.
the medicine was so powerful, and it really was about me, and it really was about what I needed, and it was about giving myself a voice during a time that was very difficult, very, very challenging for me. And I always had my writing to be this kind of a space where I could feel special, a space where I could feel useful and needed. And now that I've, it's been a few years, and my anchor is so much stronger. My roots are so much deeper. My sense of self-worth is so, it's like at a quantum exponential place in terms of where it was when I was first writing and first witching. And so my relationship to astrology, it's still there, but I think I can be so much more honest about what it is I truly want to write about and what I feel called to write about, because it's less about my shit, you know? It's less about the shit, and I can actually bring through a medicine that is so much more pure.
Yes.
And that's a really good feeling.
I mean, it sort of deepens the breath, right? To just be like, oh, wait. Both to go through the process of like, oh, you're just out here and not really ready. I actually now am often like for a while I was flocking towards people who are like on Instagram or other places offering up these medicines. And now I kind of move away from that because I'm like, a lot of times I think the instinct to jump straight to making that offer public comes before the work of deepening it internally.
Yes.
And then I get, you know, I know that people can be intuitive at any age, and I'm really drawn to those folks. I'm like, I can see that you've been steeping this gift for a couple of decades. You've been steeping this gift for a while. Okay. And I'm very curious about the answer to this next question, because so much of this is a listening activity, but what are all the ways you currently feel like you do your witchiness, your witchy work?
My witchy work? Oh my gosh, my witchy work. My witchiness right now, the core of it is so much about my willingness to rest and my willingness, the recognition that for me, and I can't speak for everyone else, I can't speak for the collective, but I know for me, a message that I've received and that I've been integrating is that I don't need to strive at all. I don't need to work at all in order to have absolutely everything that I want in my life in great abundance. And so for me right now, my witchy work is aligning with my values. And I think that to truly align with the values of one's soul will require some kind of witchcraft, some kind of magic, some kind of sorcery. On the earth plane, in the third dimension, to truly align and embody my values, I have got to be a sorceress. And that is really where my witchiness is very strong. The Taurus North Node is winding down. The values need to be anchored and rooted and embodied.
Yeah.
And for sure, that's my witchiness. And I would say a big part is I'm holding it down in Cairo. I'm holding the goddess is very strong here. The goddess is very, very strong here. The toxic masculine is very, very strong here. And I'm really holding down a container, a temple in my being here. And, you know, just when you were saying, like, I know of a lot of these people who have left the States, I feel like the earth is literally moving us to where she needs us, to where she knows, like, we can be of, I don't even know if I know the reason, but I feel so clear in my connection with the earth. And I can feel like this node and this connection with all these other beings who I don't know their faces. I don't know their names, but I understand that we are being moved to these particular places on the planet. And so that's a big part of my witchiness is thriving in Egypt, thriving in Cairo, thriving in a place that a lot of people would say a solo, single woman would not necessarily thrive. And I'm thriving in my pleasure. I'm thriving in my rest. I'm thriving where illusion is strong. And I don't mean just in Cairo, but just in the collective right now. So I think that's a big part of the witchiness as well.
I really love this. So it's bringing up a lot of follow-up questions for me. One is, if you were to not necessarily name, but point towards, gesture towards the entity that is moving us where we need to be, right? Because I feel similarly like it was so clear for me when it was time for me to move from Detroit to the South. I felt almost the way like a chess master would pick up a chess piece and move it, right? Like it was like so clear, so easy. You know, people were like, what? And I was like, yeah, it's just, this is the right time. And these are the right conditions. And this is where I'm supposed to be. And so I wonder if you were to gesture, like who does that moving for you? And, or how do you trust that motion? Even if you're like, I don't quite know, or I can't quite name it.
Yeah. Coming to Egypt and the call to be here it's increased my trust in this planet and its wisdom by like a thousandfold. And I now leave my house and I don't even know where I'm going. And I know that if I am able to stay relatively anchored in my own body, that the earth will literally place me where I'm supposed to be. And of course, to me, it's a dialogue. So the earth is dialoguing with my feet, is dialoguing with my belly, is dialoguing with my whole being, right?
Yes.
I'm in dialogue with my higher self. I'm also in dialogue with a huge team. And so I feel like the movement it's in the realm of miracle. Like it is, I think there are so many different masters who are coming together.
Yeah.
And they are all dialoguing and they are all collaborating to make sure that I am in the exact right place at the right time. And I would say that in a collective way, I think a lot of people, you know, that's a collective thing that's happening, and that, you know, everyone's teams they're working together.
I think so too. I mean, I think I love that you talk about the teams, because I really do, you know, the thing that I've always struggled with is trying to figure out how to have faith in any singular entity or impulse, right? Knowing how, for me, often when I am the most single-minded, that's when I am the most wrong directioned. So I think that's where my doubt always comes in. But when I think of like multitudes of teams, spiritual collectives that are helping to guide and influence and are in relationship with each other and rooting. I also, for me, I'm calling on my benevolent spiritual guides, my benevolent spiritual warriors, right? That I'm fight on the behalf of my most loving realization, you know, not on behalf of my ego, not on behalf of my fear, but really whatever is love in me, like fight on behalf of that, cultivate that, help me connect it. And I have been surrendering lately so much to just being like, really, what would love do? What would love have me do in this moment? Like, what's the most loving action? Even if I'm having a petty, you know, reaction or a fearful or something else is moving, I'm like, great, that's there. That's my humanity. That's my growing edge. And then what is the most loving thing I could do? And, you know, the highest right now, it's very easy for me to do that externally. And I'm trying to learn to do that internally. Like, I'm like, what is the most loving choice I could make towards myself? You know, I'm like, that's my witchcraft these days. So in Cairo, what's your daily life? What's your daily practice of in terms of this part of your life? Like, are you someone who like wakes up and meditates, or do you pull cards in the morning, or like how do you begin your listing?
Yes. So yes, I wake up, I meditate, listen to my breath for a little while. And then working from my root chakra, I call upon my team. I call upon I call it my spirit team, but I think it is important to clarify that I am talking about my benevolent spirit team.
To support me
in activating my soul encoding at each and every one of my chakras. So that would probably be another place of witchiness right now, is me returning to my soul encoding and activating my soul encoding and then bringing that into this lifetime and in this body.
And so how'd you find out your soul encoding, Naimonu?
Wow, I'm living it. I don't know if I could put it into words.
You just feel it. You're feeling it, and then you're like, let me align with that.
Yes, and that's okay. I'm trusting that I know my soul is a master soul. I know my soul is a good soul. And so I know that if I can align with that, that's going to be a good start to my day. So I activate my soul encoding in each and every one of my chakras. And I work with a 12 chakra system. And I will say also a prayer. In particular, I've been saying prayers for my yoni, which my yoni has been responding
Yay.
So well to that little morning prayer. May you be well. May you be healed. May you be happy. May you know you are loved. Like
yes.
My yoni is just like, yes, like loving it. Like really, it is a game changer. So I've been doing that as well. And then in my heart chakra, I will connect with, in particular, I will connect with Lakshmi, the goddess Lakshmi, and I will connect with goddess Isis. And I ask that Isis stand at my backbone and support me in maintaining my sacred standards, my sacred boundaries, and of course, support me in becoming a master sorceress.
Of course.
And then the question that I reflect on and channel around and ask my higher self is, how can I amplify the beauty of my life today? And I ask myself, I've asked myself that question every day for the past 3 months, and my life has become so beautiful. It was already beautiful, but in asking that question, and I will say, 9 days out of 10, the way that I can amplify the beauty of my life is to rest, is to bask, is to celebrate, is to be easy. Like nine, it's very rare that I get anything that is like, go do this thing. That's like maybe one out of 10 days.
Yeah.
Every other time is
like
be
lay
easy,
down,
receive, allow.
Yeah, similar.
Yeah. And so, yeah. And then that's kind of the end of my morning flow. Yeah.
Wow. I can feel the deliciousness radiating off of you. Which is such a good, like, it's good for me, you know, like I'm like, oh, you're, I always think that is the case. I'm like, practice speaks for itself and you don't have to, yeah, there's just not much else you have to do. If you're in your practice, it radiates off of you. And I can really feel that coming off of you. So I hear a lot that is internal facing. Are you still doing any, are you doing readings for other people? Like, do folks call you like Naimoto, yo, like help, you know, like, is there still an external facing component of the work right now?
Yeah. So I am really focusing a lot on writing and
yay.
I still have my website.
Y'all, Naimoto is a poet. It's such beautiful writing. Your writing
Thank
is so
you.
Lovely.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I took it for granted. And now it's like, it's the jewel of my life. So yeah, I'm doing more writing these days. I'm working with organizations when it comes to chart reading. So similar for the work that I did with y'all.
Oh, yay.
That's kind of where I'm really liking to do the astrology chart reading work. And then
great.
I'm also working with folks in a case by case basis. And so that container is super, super custom. Like I'm working with one beautiful human and who really wants to seed their fame and make sure that their work is spread all around the world. And so we're working with tree roots to really communicate those messages across the planet. And, and so I tend to, you know, when people come to me and they enter into my vortex, I listen in to what it is they really want. And then I actually bring our teams into dialogue, speaking of the collective dialogue between the teams. And I kind of bring through what the medicine is that I can offer. And so that's a case by case kind of thing that's happening too.
I love it. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Hello, beloved survivors. This is Autumn, reporting in from sabbatical, and well,
I'm here to remind you that it's not too late to join Patreon. It's so clear, as a member, you get access to special episodes. Yeah, I don't know.
That's all. Back to the episode.
So what witch skills do you wish everyone had in this apocalyptic time?
Oh my goodness, that is such, that's the question I didn't even know I really needed to be asked. Thank you so much.
Just like, what do they need to know?
I believe that every being in this apocalyptic time needs to know how to ground and needs to know how to ground immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Like in a, at a moment's notice.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one of the first things that I was taught, and one of the first things that I was, the first two things I was told by a really amazing spiritual teacher was, you're not grounded and you're not breathing. And of course, I wanted to get into the sexier shit. I'm like, no, where's the spouse? Like, no, like, I want to, like, manifest all this money. Like, I just wanted it to be sexier. And
yeah,
now that I'm deep into my own grounding and breath practice, if you can get that down, if you can get grounding down, you've got, like, 95% of it. Everything else is just kind of, like, the extras. But if you can be grounded, if you know how to connect with the planet, woo, you're there, really.
Yeah, so that makes a lot of sense.
For all the beings, that's my witchy wish.
I double down on this witchy wish. I really am like, so often I think about that. I'm like, I wish people could ground and I wish people would take a breath before responding to everything. You know, I'm just, and that breath can help. You know, for me, it's like one of the ways I'm like, wait, let me feel my feet on the earth. Now, one of the things I'm often thinking about, especially lately, is that I'm always in my own healing process while also being asked to support others in theirs. And I find that it takes significant boundary work and self-awareness and discernment. I'd love to ask you if you have any guidance on making the offer while also doing your own healing.
Yeah. A big part of how I protect my own healing is, and also make sure that the offering is protected as well,
yes,
from my shit, is to really make sure that the offering I'm making is right and aligned. There are so many ways that I could show up that would be really sexy and really lucrative. But in my reflection and in my spirit, that's not right for me. And that in itself, like choosing the right offering that is truly aligned, will make sure that it is an offering that I can truly give.
That's
right? From a place of groundedness and generosity and care. So that's for sure, just making sure the offering is right and being willing to stop an offering if it's wrong. It's not right. It's big. It's really big. So that's definitely one of them as well. And time, giving myself permission to not be doing client work is really necessary and helpful. And I don't need, like, this term booked and busy. No.
I'm always correcting people because like, you're so busy. And I'm like, no, my life is full.
Yeah.
You know, like right? My life is full and it's in a great way. But a lot of my fullness is staring into space or what would look like not doing, you know, because I'm like, I have to feel things to write. I have to like be quiet enough that like a song emerges. I have to reflect and integrate what's happening so that I can offer some synthesis, you know, forward.
For me, it's so important that I only work when I'm in, I only work from overflow. I'm only in overflow. If I haven't been out of overflow for a minute, but if I were to feel that, okay, I'm not in overflow, I'm not working with anyone that day. Like that's not happening. And so I
Wow, I love
only
that.
work from overflow. And even when I'm pricing my work, just think for the other witches listening in who price their work and ask themselves about this. I price my work to remain in overflow. I do not price my work for just to get my needs met. I need to be in overflow. I need to be met in overflow, right? So that also helps me maintain my boundaries because I do think when we are not charging enough for our work, the boundaries can start to get a little bit, a lot of it, wobbly.
I think that, yeah, I think there's always this dance I'm doing. You know, I'm like being inside of capitalism and being like, okay, how am I part of creating a flow of abundance that moves in all directions? And a big part of it was starting to have, I had such an undervalued sense of what I was offering to people. You know, I was always like, oh, the real people are, I don't know. It was just someone who had a different set of skills and was doing different work than I was. I was like, I'm back here behind the curtain. You know, I'm trying to like make sure all the T's are crossed. Like, I don't know what that is, right? And then slowly start to realize the value of spirit work, the value of creative work, the value of listening, you know, the value of healing in multiple directions. So I love this overflow orientation. You know, we sometimes ask folks to tell us what their top culture is in this moment, right? So like, is there something that you are listening to or watching, or it could be old or new, right? But something that's just really like, this is giving me my cultural nourishment right now.
Whoa, cultural nourishment. So my nourishment right now in terms of like the things I'm reading and watching. Okay, so I just finished American Dirt by Janine Cumming, which was beautiful. So the books and the bookstores in Cairo have been really nourishing. And I'm reading this scandalous, I'm reading this scandalous little book right now called Counterfeit. And I believe the author's name is Kristen Chen. And it is about this high strung new mom who gets swept up into this massive, like multi-million billion-dollar counterfeit bag industry. And it's really giving me the like the scandal, the juiciness, the kind of the drama. I'm loving listening to it on it's an audiobook. And I spent a lot of time watching television, and right now I'm watching a lot of The Good Doctor. Yeah.
That's
So
great.
yeah, that's kind of what I'm inside of right now.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, I've been so I went through a whole long binge of the series Alone, which is about people getting dropped by themselves in the wilderness.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I well, it's so I'm having this. I had a recent loss. A friend of mine passed away, and randomly I keep going to watch stuff. And then another friend is like, well, you know, that was his favorite show. Like, you know, he loved that show. Like, you know, that was one of his things. So I'm just sort of like, okay, got it. Let me just like accept this blessing of this curation from beyond. So I was watching Alone, and then I was like, you know what? I just really need to watch RuPaul's Drag Race, like season 7, All Stars Legends, winners. Like, it hit, and it was like, I watched that. And again, same thing. Oh, that was his favorite show. Like, he watched that all the time and he made everyone else watch it. And I was like, right. This is great. And then I just got into Yellow Jackets, which is
Okay.
like feeding this part of me that since I was young has been obsessed with like the Donner Party. And like, you know, what I'm like, what are the circumstances of survival that lead to humans eating each other? And I think spiritually we are there already. And I'm like, how, what is, what is, what is it? How does the collective agree to it? And then how do we recover from having done it? So I've been watching that, but also watching The Queer Ultimatum, which is like a reality TV show. I've been watching a lot of TV. I basically need shows. I've been doing this writing project where it helps me to have something going in the background to kind of write against. sometimes I can't do that. And it can't be like Succession. It can't be a show like that where I'm like, I just have to put everything down and like watch every little side eye. But for like RuPaul's Drag Race, I'm just like, okay, these are excellent side eyes. And I'm catching a lot just from listening. And I think it's one of the most radical shows on television. Like, it just makes me so happy to be like, y'all are out here trying so hard to legislate us out of existence, but it's too late because look at these shows. We're already loving each other in public. It's just too late. all right. So each week, each episode, I choose a piece from Fables and Spells, which is a collection of short stories and spells that I put out this past year that I feel honors my guest and goes with the conversation. And the one today is, the poem is called I Can't Stop Being in the Present, which feels very like lined up with the delicious way that you are. And I think I'm just going to read the whole thing, actually. I can't stop being in the present, noticing how the past tells me what I should care about, and the future tells me what I should fear, and the past tells me what we forgot, and the future tells me what we must dream. But here, I breathe in, noticing the gift I too often take for granted, not knowing how many breaths I have left. I want to spend them loving, being loved. I've done so much, so many tasks, but what matters most has been the listening to the thirsting dirt and the spiraling wind in the wake of murmuration, to the drumbeat of ant feet moving abundance with a million hands, the sacred erotic of pollination, the orgasmic opening of mushrooms pulling the yes for miles underground, the innocent violence of predators feeding their children, the way the wild wastes nothing, the way cedar gives me permission to pray. I thought someone else had all the instructions, and I, stumbling and following, praying to become worthy, must admit I've been grieving and grieving all I don't know and don't trust, and grieving so deeply, a world that is still breathing, anticipating failure in spite of my visions. But when I listen, the universe is reminding me I cannot be taken from her. I am never untethered from her roots, never beyond the whole. And nothing is lost, it is lived. And we are not here to win, but to experience love. And those who do not know love are missing life in spite of all other accumulation. And when I listen, the universe is teaching me that control is impossible and the season will change. And enough is a feeling that cannot be measured, and the small circle is the deepest. And I cannot teach anyone what I have not practiced. And I cannot change anyone but myself. And I will never feel free in a position of demand. And I am already free. And we all are. And when we realize it, we cannot be contained. And we are never I. Even when we are lonely, even when we distinctly suffer, even when we distinctly succeed, we are of lineage, of collective, of era, of farmers' hands and strangers' prayers, of singers with their heads thrown back. We're always dancing with our ghosts and praying for our great-great-grandchildren. We are always the harvest. And the future is being decided, and the future is being practiced. The future is being planted in this breath, and this breath, and this breath. So I breathe in, noticing the gift I too often take for granted, not knowing how many breaths I have left. I want to spend them being loved. And scene.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Oh. It's really exciting to be in your presence again.
Yes, I feel the same way.
Do you have anything writing-wise that you would want to share with us?
Whoa. Sure.
I know. I was like, I just feel, I don't know why, but I just feel like normally I wouldn't put people on the spot like that, but I just feel like
it's always here.
It's right there, right? Okay.
Yeah, sure. Okay. I have been getting back on Instagram. I had an Instagram with 7,000 followers that I deleted.
Yes.
And I've been getting back on Instagram and every week trying to share some of my words, some of my writing. And so I'm going to flow there and share something that I recently put on Instagram. For those of us who tend toward aloneness, we must find ways to belong to everything, to everyone. I belong to the ash-colored clouds suffocating Cairo today, to the tamarind bloom, to the stranger wearing bright orange heels with silver rhinestones holding the door open for me, to the hundreds milling about the mall after a quiet cup of morning coffee with their god. I await my beloveds of the flesh as the moon awaits the sun, whole, perfect, a bit wrapped up in herself, and certain. Love, Nemonu.
Oh, I love that.
Thank you.
That's really beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Shake these bones, shake these bones, oh God, shake these bones, shake.
Thanks for listening to our show. This is Autumn. I'm on sabbatical, but I can't stay away. And I'm here to tell you that we are on Twitter and Instagram at End of the World PC. We're also on Facebook at End of the World Show. You can make a sustaining donation to our show by visiting our page at patreon.com/endoftheworldshow. Another incredibly helpful thing you can do to help our show sustain itself is to write us a review on Apple Podcasts if you're an iPhone person. Thank you. How to Survive the End of the World is produced and edited by the incomparable Zach Rosen and transcribed by Liz Fertig. Music for today's show comes from Tunde Olaniran and the Bangsons.